Hello, hello, hello. Buzz Fringy. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christine, her mom.
And we're going to be covering The Umbrella Academy. I almost always try to say Game of Thrones. I have gotten so used to that. That was 8 seasons of doing that, and now I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Sorry. Season 3, Episode 3, Pocketful of Lightning.
And season three,
Episode 4, Kugelblitz.
Yes, and we have our usual disclaimers. That include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we are having things to drink. What you having to drink?
I'm having the same thing you were having. We are having Jameson Ginger and Lime because it's what we had.
And it's in a can and it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a good idea for today.
This is a late night podcast.
Well, for us. Probably not for normal people, but for us.
And I'm certainly not airing at night, so
no.
Just bear with us. We're in the middle of a work week.
And I'm really tired because I had like early meetings today. So I don't know how this is going to go. We're going to see. So we start out with the Umbrella Academy.
Season 3, Episode 3, Pocketful of Lightning.
And Doc starts out talking about, I think it's Chapter 68, Paradox Protocols of the manual that they have for the Commission. And they talk specifically about the grandfather paradox. This started, they apparently acted it out for some
it's
film.
Funny. I like it.
But some kid named Elmer blamed everything on his grandfather. And so the same day that his grandfather throws soup at his mother, he invents time travel to go back in time and kill his grandfather. But the problem is he goes so far back that he makes sure that his mother was never born and therefore he was never born. And so could he have killed him? Hard to say, but they call it the grandfather paragraph docs and say, don't be an Elmer.
Yes.
That's basically it.
So
but they also say, this is one other thing. Strategic violence will ensure that this doesn't happen.
Sure. So in the meantime, in the present, Luther does the walk of shame, but it's not shame, it's happiness, because he finally had sex again.
Do you believe in magic?
Yes, that plays. And he's walking back to the hotel after sex, and
dancing.
He stops by a newspaper stand, and he like realizes, oh, I need a mint, because who knows when I'm going to see this girl again. Mm-hmm. I want to smell fresh. And then he also sees that they sell condoms, which is such an odd thing for a newspaper stand to sell.
I don't think it is.
Well, it just seemed random to me. But
you never got looking for them.
That's true. And so so he sees them and he's like, oh, can I have some of those? And then the guy goes, condoms? And he's like, yeah, for sex. And I'm like, what else would it be?
Thanks,
for
Luther. Helpful.
Great. Like, I didn't think you were going to make some balloon animals. Yeah. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Anyway, as happy as you could make a balloon animal.
Anyway, he notices a blast from the vortex thing at the Sparrow Academy, and it takes the newspaper guy this time.
And some other people.
And others. But especially the guy he was talking to. And then he just steals the stuff anyway. But that doesn't really seem like a Luther move, but I guess this is the new Luther.
It is.
Anyway, the new sexed up Luther who really needs those condoms.
Yeah.
They, the family talk about the paradox causing the vortex when they came in. Allison is complaining about Five taking charge all the time. And I'm like, Allison, what?
She's very whiny about this.
So whiny. And
it's just awful.
About her more in the next episode because I think my bull diatribe is more apt there.
But Five, she complains about Five and you know, they aren't going to take it from him. And he's like, I'm just the messenger then. And
but Five is only trying to help. He's only trying to save the universe twice. And
she's just all adamant. I've got to go home.
Allison, you've got to get over that now.
Well, I said this is home.
Exactly. Lila is also apparently staying at the hotel, and Five is going to go talk with her. Klaus wants to look into his mother's death more and wants to know what happened.
Diego's funny about this
thing. Diego's immediately like, it was Dad.
Dad did it.
And then everyone else agrees, and then he's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess that is the most likely cause. Luther comes back with his gift, his tote bag, and his newfound swagger and his condoms for sex. And he's like, yeah, no, I was being held captive by the Sparrow Academy. Didn't like, you notice? Oh. And they're like, oh, yeah, so we noticed so much. Yeah. But then he was like, yeah, no, it's okay. The Sparrow Academy's great. You should see their gym. And so Luther really likes the Sparrow Academy, and especially one of the sparrows, obviously. And so he, and then he brings up disappearing people. And so, yeah, that's not great. So then Five goes to find Lila in the like Arabian baths, like they have in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And she's just like in the bath. And I'm like, why does she have to be in the bath anyway?
So she can be naked when they fight. Because then they fight, of course. Me,
fine.
They
Lila fight, and then they just kind of give up.
Well, she's losing. And so she gives up.
Yeah, I know. They just kind of give up. Anyway, he asks about the two briefcases that she has, and he notices that they aren't working, which is very, very, very unlikely. He says they have to work together.
It's worse than the end of the world. We have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
As they come out of the bath area, they run into Diego, and Diego acts like he's jealous of Five. I'm probably going to edit out. There's comic relief here in the form of the kid, but much of it is either quick and semi-funny or just, you know, like throw away some. I'm not going to mention it unless you really want to. Lila points out that there's no us now to be jealous of. Like, she and Diego are not a thing, that she's moved on.
She's been with many men.
Yeah, and she says that the only relationship that they have left is with their child, and he needs to be a good dad, and he needs to, you know, just work on being a dad. We then go to Luther, Victor, and Allison. They are discussing people disappearing. There's a lot of chatter in this, and it's not particularly fun chatter, so it's like, Victor says,
after Allison leaves,
right, thinks that they should discuss things with the sparrows. Luther,
this is before Allison leaves.
Yeah, Luther wants to go with Victor and Allison says no, and Victor explains to Luther after Allison walks away, Allison needs something to do to distract her from her child being.
I think that's fair. I think Victor's being like a good brother here. I think it's odd.
It's a genuinely stupid plan, though.
Well, to talk to the sparrows, yeah, sure. But I think he's trying. Victor's trying.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it odd to me that Luther, after hearing, oh yeah, Claire, her daughter, has just disappeared, after Luther had seen in that phone booth in season one how much her daughter meant to her, after he finds out about that, he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna leave her alone. What? That's not the Luther we know. Even if because you don't have Luther, any romantic feelings for her anymore, it doesn't mean that you can't be a good brother to her.
I think Luther's just kind of they don't have time for that as a subplot,
which is annoying to me.
But they have time for some other really boring subplots that come up in this episode.
Victor and Allison leave to talk with the sparrows. Ben is paranoid about what the Umbrella Academy is doing. He wants to be the new number one now that Marcus has disappeared, and gets aggressive with Faye, who's questioning his leadership because apparently he was demoted before.
Bird girl.
Yeah. Because apparently he was number one for a minute, and then he wasn't. And Faye agrees that they should move up in the ranks because she would also move up. Grace says some weird shit about God being in the basement Marcus home, but they ignore that.
Right. So she comes in to clean, and Marcus and Bird Girl are talking
Ben
about
and Bird Girl.
Ben and Bird Girl, sorry, are talking about Marcus being God. And Grace just chimes in. Yeah, Grace just chimes in about, God took Marcus. He was called home. God's in the basement. And
they don't do anything with that information.
They assume that she's, like, malfunctioning.
I would check the basement.
But Ben is just so power hungry. He's very, very focused on that.
Yeah,
we
whatever.
Then see that Klaus, and I didn't recognize what the weird outfit was until later, but he's in a weird
it's a
outfit.
Wetsuit.
It's a wetsuit. He leaves the hotel. And we see that Harlan is checking into the hotel. And we don't know he's Harlan yet, but he's Harlan. sorry, spoiler. Ben and the Bird Girl meet with Vanya and Allison. And you know, Ben again is like, "Oh, you need more people." It's like, why? There are only two of you. But Allison, I do love this, starts calling Birdgirl "flock of sheagles,"
That's
which is
funny.
hilarious. Allison
And Ben even
claims,
cracks up at that.
yeah, Allison claims they have Marcus as a hostage, and Victor tries to explain, you know, the paradox, and she does not have the vocabulary to explain it clearly. Allison then
Oh,
finally,
Victor doesn't?
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. He doesn't. I'm sorry. I apologize for my
That's okay.
pronouns. Allison then says, "It's the briefcase for our brother," and Ben agrees.
Because even because Ben didn't even realize they had a briefcase there,
He's like,
so it's not
"Sure, we'll give
anything
you a
new.
briefcase, sure."
What
So
was that? What is
I don't know.
that
So Krause, in his for the year, dives into the septic tank
briefcase?
on the outside of the academy.
Why he would ever need, he acts like he's done this millions of times before. Why does he ever need
I
to
do not know. Is but clearly this is something that's going to lead into the basement, which becomes important later, and you can see the foreshadowing here.
Allison and Victor are talking on the sidewalk, and Allison is feeling hope for the first time, and she's being very, very aggressive. And Victor's just like, "Hey, maybe calm down a bit. Like,
You've
I'd love
never
to
met
go
that
back
person. Yeah.
too. I'd love to go back too, to back to like Sissy and all that stuff, but that I'm not going to lose my mind over it right this second. We do have some time. I mean, we honestly, when you think about it, they have all the time in the world because
Yeah.
like it doesn't even fucking matter because if they time travel back, it's not like any that much time has passed for Sissy. So you can
Well,
just not
yes and
stop
no,
off
but
the way you are.
you may not have time
Obviously.
in the present timeline,
Oh,
so
I'm
it's
aware of that, but they don't really know about that yet. But either not as not to the degree that they should, but either but they who when has Victor ever cared about what's going on in
Well,
the
and when has Victor ever been the person to say a line to Allison like, "Don't go all improv"? You know, it's like,
I kind of like what they're doing with Victor, making Victor the more sane one in the group now,
or
but
well,
it's at the expense of Allison's sanity, which is unfortunate,
I think,
but
well, there's some other balance of power things, and I'm not having a problem with Victor having more. I mean,
it's making them
he
more
has
tolerable.
more superpower powers, so it makes sense. But I think one of the issues has always been that Victor is not necessarily a planner, and of course, Victor's trying to take that role, and it is clear that the inexperience is showing. So,
Yeah, but yeah, Victor tries to calm her down a bit. Stan is shadowing Diego or trying to. Diego just gives him some money and tries to be the cool dad who lets him wander around the city alone.
sure.
Then Klaus makes it into the academy. He runs into Reginald in his room. He asks if he killed their moms. They get interrupted before Reginald seems a little bit like off put by that. Put off by that, sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I could do that. And then you get this very kind of sad, sick old person vibe off of Reginald. He talks about, things going on with him, and
No.
not yet. He doesn't talk about himself. So the ugly guy and the spitter come in.
Oh, don't call
The
them that. They have names, Jamie and Alfonso.
ugly guy and the spitter come in.
That's mean.
And they give Reginald pills and force Reginald to sign stuff. And Reginald's resistant, and the ugly guy says to Reginald, "Don't make me get Christopher." But the ugly guy can smell it's really Klaus, the septic
The
tank. It smells
septic tank.
disgusting. After they leave, Klaus asks Reginald what happened to him. Ben and Bird Girl go to the base.
Hey. I'll keep
Ben and Bird Girl go to the basement to look
correcting
for,
you.
and I will not take the correction, so there we go, to look for the briefcase. They seem to think that Grace, if there's a luggage, anything, it would be worth somewhere where Grace would put it. They find Grace worshiping the Rage Ball, and she explains that it took Marcus, when Marcus touched them, she warns them not to touch it. And explains that it arrived when the new visitors arrived 2 days ago.
We then cut to Five. Five has a new suit. It's attractive. It is. It's a cute little suit.
It's a cute suit.
It's not shorts, and he doesn't look like a child. So there you go.
He looks less like a child, yes. Oh, yeah,
right, he still looks like a child. You're right. he and Lila are trying to jerry-rig or hotwire a briefcase. Lila electrocutes him for running a briefcase, which is completely bitchy and stupid. She then tells Five, look, you have little time jumps left in you right now. I can use that rebound power to make bigger ones. Both of us together could juice a briefcase. And they are going to have to sort of trust each other to do that. There's a lot of discussion back and forth about that, but whatever.
Five also tells her that Diego loves her, or might love her, or yes, whatever, which kind of catches her off guard. Anyway, Luther is listening to love songs. This is your
favorite.
I know.
Luther is listening to love songs and making a mixtape for Sloan.
Lady in Red.
And
Lionel Richie.
And Diego. Diego shows up and he's like, you're making a fucking mixtape? What are you doing? And
making a mixtape for the enemy?
Well, Diego tells Luther about Victor's transition, first of all, and then Diego figures out that he likes a sparrow. And then Stan shows up and Diego explains what a Molotov cocktail is, because he's like planting them everywhere since he thinks that the sparrows are going to come and try to attack them.
So he wants to have them conveniently at hand.
He tricks Stan into getting into an elevator when he pushes all the buttons on all the floors so that he will be stuck in that elevator, mm-hmm, even though he could easily get off at the first floor and then go down the stairs.
Yes.
Anyway, because that trick never fucking works. Anyway, I'm sorry for yelling. Anyway, Reginald is talking to Klaus. Reginald expresses regret and loneliness.
Oh, I forget. There were some good lines between Diego and Luther. Okay. He points out to Luther, he's like, you had gravity sex. And Luther says, we were dancing on the ceiling. Oh, that's going on the mixtape.
So funny.
Anyway, Reginald is feeling regret and loneliness.
And not dancing on the ceiling.
No,
Klaus.
Not at all.
Sorry.
Klaus feels like so much has been taken from him. His love, his cult,
his brother.
All of that. Like, especially Ben. It's a big loss for him. And he feels like he could get over it if he found the person who killed his mom and kind of brought that to justice, even though that's the Batman method and it doesn't work.
It's the Diego method.
Batman became lower.
Exactly.
Then Clash also shows Reginald shows that he's a little bit weak because of the pills. And so Diego. Klaus. It was on the brain. Bargain bin Batman. Anyway, Klaus shows Reginald. I'm sorry. Reginald had to store pills in his mouth to like keep them from like
swallowing
them. You could have done that the entire time. You didn't even think of that. You're supposed to be the smartest guy in the world.
Yes, it's the rules. I'm wondering.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, random dude is listening to throat singing. Ah, yes.
Harlan.
Stop! You've already given it away.
I have.
Anyway, random dude is listening to throat singing. He reminds me of my brother. Hello,
oh.
Nick. Stop. Jacob stores the Molotov cocktails around the hotel. Luther wants to throw a party for Victor to celebrate the whole transitioning and all that stuff like that.
And Diego's like, no, we're not going to do that. And Luther's like, you don't like the little sandwiches.
Why do you not like little sandwiches? I love little sandwiches, so I feel that. But
yeah.
Then Victor walks up and then Diego's like, Victor's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And Diego's like, oh, trying to plan a party to celebrate you. Do you feel loved? And then Victor's like, yeah, I feel loved. And then Luther compliments him on his haircut and like talks about like the specifics of what kind of like level they used. It's adorable.
It's cute.
Anyway, then Klaus and Reginald are watching movies. Reginald is napping and says oblivion in his sleep randomly. Then Klaus goes to the basement following Grace's singing of a hymn and sees the vortex. Grace starts freaking out and chanting in some other language. I have no idea where that came from. They
and Klaus just backs away.
He just walks away. Then Lila and Five kickstart the briefcase. They end up in a snowstorm at the commission, which is odd because it's usually perfect weather.
Yes.
Luther and Diego are at a Mahjong tournament, and Victor and Allison show up to meet the Sparrows with them. They show up early in leather and in their outfits.
All the uniforms. They look a little like Diego.
Kind of.
Bargain bin Batman. Bargain bin Batman. Bargain bin Batman. Hey, I said it three times.
And I can barely say it once. Congratulations, Yay. Mom. Anyway, Sloan tries to tell Luther to run, but he can't. She's like mouthing it. So he's like, bun? And then she's like, oh, run!
And he just smiles at
so him. Funny.
What the hell?
And apparently, since Ben realizes, he realized when he saw the vortex, like that Marcus was absorbed by the vortex and isn't in their custody, he's like, nope, the deal's off. We're gonna fucking fight now. Yeah. And so they prepare to fight them. The random guy is starting to approach them from behind, which is odd. And then, like, down the hall.
Yeah, the first time I watched this, I actually was not sure who random guy it was.
So. I had my suspicions with the whole sound thing. But
yeah,
like,
but I wasn't sure.
So. I wasn't positive either until it happened. And so Stan then runs up and like Diego's like, no, stop. And so he drops the cocktail and it makes one of the
like,
flyers.
Molotov you. He's like, he's yelling Molotov you, and Diego tells him to stop, so he just drops it and catches everything on fire.
Well, not just like one of the banners with the Mahjong tournament thing on it. And then Chris starts like zapping everyone's minds.
Chris is the cue.
Yes. Christopher, he starts like zapping people's minds, like doing a Cruciatus curse on them or some shit. So that's so many mixed media. And then the random dude comes up and he unleashes his power and it pushes everyone back, but like Luther pushes Sloan to the ground before that happens.
It doesn't just push people back.
It
kills the spitter and ugly dude.
Alfonso and Jamie, and so stop. Anyway, it kills those two. Like their heads basically implode or whatever.
They're vestigial sparrows.
Yeah, Sloan is knocked out, and the sparrows leave without her. Way to go, guys. And then Victor realizes the guy is Harlan, which I don't know how he figured that out.
I really don't.
Does he really look like his old self?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but maybe it's the power that he recognizes. I don't know. But that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
Luther's fucking funny in this. I love it. It's great. I love the energy. Klaus is funny. Five. And I guess Lila, I like Five better than Lila. I don't know what they did with Lila. Her jokes are just not as funny this season. Or at least not to me. It's not any knock on her performance, though. It's still great. It's just whatever. Reginald.
The writing is not as sharp this season.
Yeah, there are some funny parts, but it's just not hitting as well as the other two did. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Reginald, switch in power dynamics in the Umbrella Academy and the Sparrow Academy is interesting to see, like Reginald being the one stomped on and all that stuff. It's fun. You know, an old guy being abused. Yeah, I mean,
elder abuse.
Like, I don't know. And Christopher. I love Christopher.
Why do you love Christopher?
He's fucking funny. He's just a cute floating around and people pretend to understand him. It's funny.
He's a little bit there. You didn't watch enough Star Trek. There was an alien enemy that was like the Christopher Cube. Anyway, so my best parts were killing some sparrows because it made me happy. Klaus, Luther, and Five.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking off Lila. Worst parts, random nude fight. Like, it didn't need to be nude, but fine. I just find it odd. Anyway, Stan, I don't understand. I get they wanted to give Diego some kind of arc this season, but why this? Like, I don't understand why they felt the need to bring a child into this. I think they went...
New kinds of daddy issues. What are
we
talking
about?
No
daddy issues.
It's fair.
Anyway.
Everybody, daddy issues galore. I don't think a single person in this show doesn't have daddy issues.
Fair.
Can you name a single character who doesn't? Exactly. Anyway, Ben just, he's such an asshole. And immediately recognizing Harlan. Like, I maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not that great at, like, recognizing a lot of people. But, I mean, you knew him for a month in the 60s. I understand that was, like, 4 days ago. But he was a child. This is, like, yeah. A 60, 70-year-old man.
Yeah, it is not credible. Was that all your worst parts?
Yeah, that's all.
Mine were Ben, Bird Girl, and Allison. I think Allison, and it's going to get worse.
Allison, in the next episode, yes. Episode.
But I just
I forgot about Allison.
Aggressive arc for her, I don't think does anything for the overall storyline. What grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
I think it's a B minus. I wrote down a B and then
I wrote down a B and then I was like, B minus.
No, it's not that good.
All right, so season 3, episode 4, Kugel Blitz.
Kugel Blitz. It sounds like something you eat, you know, like a blintz.
A Kugel.
Noodle Kugel or something.
Well, there's a blitz. It's a blitzed Kugel.
It is. This episode starts out with House of the Rising Sun, which is such awesome a great song. Like, you can't even, like, screw up a cover of this song. It's just really hard. You see Sissy driving Harlan West from
favorite
Texas.
Characters.
Yeah. Not. And I'm probably going to leave out parts of this montage because it's a montage. They stop and get an apartment in Salt Lake City. Harlan blows up Sissy's new girlfriend's rabbit for biting him. And then they move to Oregon. Harlan is beaten up on a playground. He knocks a bunch of kids to the ground.
At least he didn't blow them up.
They move a bunch more times. Seriously, every time it seems like Harlan has done something.
Yeah.
As the montage progresses, you see that Sissy has what is basically lung cancer, and that in the end she dies. Harlan blows up the hospital on the day that she dies, and we move to the present day.
He sends out a blast that knocks over some stuff. He doesn't blow up the hospital with everybody inside.
Not the whole hospital.
That's where you made it sound.
It wasn't the area, definitely.
So, well, but he doesn't make it explode. He just sends like a big wave of whatever the fuck he has energy out there.
Although when we've seen him do it before, he usually kills people, so this is the thing.
Yeah, anyway.
It's unclear exactly what happens because it doesn't show the entirety of it.
At present, Victor tries to talk to Harlan, and that's not going well. Sloan freaks out after seeing his teammates' bodies and runs away.
Her teammates' bodies. What? Sloan is a her.
I thought I said her.
You didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Her teammates' bodies and runs away. But within the same hotel, she doesn't, like, go outside.
I don't understand.
She could have flown away. What?
Gravity girl.
Anyway, Five and Lila see the abandoned commission, and then that's it. Sloan threatens Luther, thinking he set her up.
Diego, Allison, and Luther catch her, basically.
Yeah, Diego threatens Sloan, and Luther's like, I will pound you, to Diego if he hurts her. But then Allison comes in and is like, are you going to do that to me too, Luther? And then he's like, probably not. I don't know. I'm still off on you. Like, you can tell that's going on behind his mind. Eyes.
Yeah.
Mind?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Anyway, it's a long day.
Harlan high-pitched buzzing like a tuning fork.
He freaks out about really Victor not aging or some shit.
Yeah, Victor appears and Harlan says you have an age. Harlan explains that they've been connected since that day at the lake. Oh, we love that day at the lake. Let's talk more about day at the lake. The vibrations he feels between himself and quote unquote the people like us are like a tuning fork in his head, and he feels that whenever he gets close to people like that, and that's how he found Victor. Harlan explains he's not made to contain the kind of power that they have. Victor wants to make it right. And then we head to Allison. Allison rumors Sloane to tell the truth. It's like this superpowered
It's thing. A weird version of it because yeah. usually you just, like, she says it and then the person who's been rumored does what she wants. Now she's like, Sloane can kind of fight it?
Well, right. She, her eyes are rolling back in her head. And it's clearly more physically violent than it's ever been.
Which is weird.
It is.
I guess everyone else got a power upgrade, but Allison, so they just wanted to make things more painful? I don't know. She's like torturing her, and like Luther and Diego get her to stop. Because clearly Sloane doesn't know anything about the briefcase.
She specifically says, we don't have the briefcase. I don't know about a briefcase.
Yeah, exactly. And so she lets her go, essentially, but she's like, Luther, keep her in your sights, as if Luther would do anything else. And she walks away, and she's like really upset with herself, and she looks at herself in the mirror, and she tries to rumor herself to be happy.
And that seems to fail. I mean, it's interesting.
I'm so confused herself. About what is wrong with her powers right well, now.
Has she ever been able to rumor herself? I mean,
I feel like she could be able to with right, the whole mirror thing. It even seemed to be working.
She did, like, because her eyes did roll back in her head and stuff, which is getting weird. Who knows? But she doesn't seem happy and cuts all her hair off.
Yeah, and I preferred her hair before. Anyway, she does it with, like, tangled style with a shard of mirror. Like, it's very odd. Sorry, that's another random reference. Anyway,
if y'all listen to this podcast, you need to be very familiar with, like, Barbie movies, Disney princesses. I don't reference
Barbie movies that much.
Other shows we have on the podcast, because there are minutiae in here that if you've not watched these shows, you're in trouble.
Mom, don't bring up the Barbie movies. Like, when have I referenced Barbie? Never. On this podcast. When have you
referenced John Mulaney? Like, all the time. So there is trivia that you may not get. Sorry.
That's why I apologize after every reference. Anyway, she tells Victor about the missing briefcase, but Victor wants to help Harlan, and she's no longer a priority, I guess.
And Allison is very angry.
And Allison is upset about that.
She's angry.
Now you know how Victor felt last time when Victor asked for help with Sissy and Harlan, and everyone said, shut the fuck up. And so I guess you know how it feels now, Allison, huh? Anyway, Ben and Faye fight about his leadership being sucky and how he was demoted to number two by Reginald. They then talk to Reginald about the situation, and Reginald's like, Ben, I have an idea, and we don't care about the idea.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, like, back and forth about how
they Ben also assume that Sloane ideas. Is dead, so, I mean yeah, it's a fair assumption.
There's not a whole lot of very interesting going on there. We see the kid who is in trouble with Diego for burning stuff, and he is punished by having to clean rooms. Klaus is talking to Diego about how he had been to see Dad, and Dad's been doped, and so on and so forth. And so Diego says, I've got to go babysit Luther. Here, Klaus, you watch the kid clean rooms. And neither of them likes that idea, but somehow it ends up being okay.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Five, who is at the switchboard, looking at the recording of Herb talking about the timeline collapsing. And Five realizes that instead of the universe exploding, the universe is imploding. And Lila appears, because they've, like, split up looking for people or help or something. Lila appears with the commission handbook, which instructs them, in the case of this kind of paradox, to get the founder to the operations bunker. And so they go looking for the bunker because more waves are going out. We then see Luther and Sloane arguing about this ambush, like, worried that each of them has been just playing each other. And Luther, of course, being the better guy, and he is, says, look, I've never had friends. I've never had romances. I just have my family, and I would do anything to protect them except to betray you, because that's not the person I want to be. We have to trust each other. And they hold hands, and it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Klaus drinking mouthwash because alcohol is in mouthwash. Klaus and the kid compare punishments, And the kid's like, oh, yeah, you must have had oppositional defiant disorder. That's what my psychologist says I have. And he describes the symptoms. And Klaus is like, it's me. The kid is being a kleptomaniac. He's just stealing stuff. And Klaus eventually realizes it. And Klaus tells the kid to put things back. And the kid says, I thought you were going to be the fun uncle. And he says, I did too. Wow. We then see Luther and Sloane, and he reminds Sloane that she is their hostage and she can't go back.
Yeah, she's just like, well, I'll just go back. And Luther's like, you can't go back right now.
Yeah, not at this moment.
So. Yeah, Sloane wants to end the feud and still be with Luther. Blah, 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 blah. We've seen this a million times before. Blah, blah. Not necessarily in the show, but like in general. So Victor asks about Harlan about Sissy, and he says how much Sissy loved Victor and how much they needed him, which is probably not what Victor wants to hear at this point. Well, maybe, but there's always that possibility that they could get the briefcase back and go back and like help out Sissy or whatever. Anyway, Victor says he should have stayed. Then Klaus is the cool uncle, and he like pushes the stand around on the cart, and they reach this suite called the White Buffalo Suite. It's not on the list, but they jimmy the lock anyway. Then Luther and Sloane pitch a way to broker peace with the Sparrows by like giving her back and giving the bodies of the fallen back and all that stuff. And then, everyone's kind of like apprehensive about it, except for Victor. Victor wants to have Sloane be like a double agent. And even Sloane is willing to be rumored to do it. And Alice is like, whatever. And then she just storms off. I'm like, what? Yeah. Sloane is being nothing but accommodating.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's making her angrier. Yeah. So we then switch over to the kitchen. In the ways of.
Anyway. Did you want to talk about it? No, I'll wait to the end.
Okay, so we then see that Five is, as they are looking for the bunker, starting to itch. He's starting to fart. He's starting to sweat. He knows what's going on, but Lila does not. So Five says they're having this back and forth about how their lives are miserable and lonely. And he points out that Lila is not formulated for domestic bliss either. They then find the bunker. Diego and Allison are in another British car. I guess they could only get British cars.
What the fuck is up with that?
Season? It's weird. And they're drinking. And Diego says, you need to use me as your therapist. I'm Dr. Fuego. He does have some good lines. They aren't as good as last season, though. Mm. Allison talks about the trauma of the racial hatred she faced in Dallas, which, again...
Where was that last season?
They showed racial hatred, but they didn't show its effect on
her. Yeah, and I would think that it would happen more in the moment. And I can understand her thinking about it now, but I feel like it would have happened more in the moment and then... Like, it could have been a thing where she experiences that in the 60s. She is really, really feeling the effects of it then. She comes back to 2019 and she notices some reflections in that time of like in 2019. It's not fully gone. And she starts being a little bit more sensitive to that kind of thing. I feel like that would be like more a PTSD like, kind of thing. Yeah, I feel like she would be, if she was like more sensitive to like, what I is it called? Think... Like, yeah,
racial hate.
Not just that, but there's another word for it.
But I can see. I think that not all people react to trauma in the same way, and I think I've had a lot more experience with people who've been through trauma. I think there are a lot of people who suppress it until they are on the other side of it, and then they start processing. And it's like, oh shit!
It's been like 3 days, but sure.
But she's not in that same. Acute situation, so she's able to get a little perspective of it, and as she does, she's kind of like shit, and she tells Diego Ray and Claire were really the things that were keeping her together, and she doesn't have them and she wants them back. Diego explains that his vigilantism and
this is where she comes up with bargain Batman
Batman is was therapy for cool people. It's just a cute way of phrasing it, not necessarily
illegal cute
in real life.
Not necessarily legal.
Right. He wants to pick a fight with people at a white supremacist bar. Yay.
I love I hate that exists.
I hate that it exists, but I also hate that, like, that's your way of dealing with stuff. I don't think that's really
everyone who deserves it in that bar. I mean, like, sure, but do you want to start something?
Why do you want to go in?
Because you realize that you're not going to, like, kill every single or hurt every single person in that bar, but they are more likely to retaliate. Like, do you really want to deal with the consequences of that? You lived in the 60s, Martyrs so you know how weird these people get. Anyway, they want to pick a fight. Great. Victor and Sloan and Luther go to the exchange at a random dock or some shit.
When did we all of a sudden get all these cars? And why are they all British? And that's
anyway. They give Sloan back. Ben wants Harlan to and make him part of the deal. Nobody agreed to that, but now it's a thing.
Yeah, so Ben whatever. Thinks he's being cool, and it's like, no, you're being
It makes me think that it was Reggie's idea, but, like, I'm not sure. Anyway, Five gets access to the bunker, even though Lila didn't. They find the founder, and it's
It's a retinal scan, so yes. Lila doesn't have access, but Five does.
The founder is an older Five on a ventilator. He doesn't feel the paradox psychosis in the room because apparently the bunker is paradox proof, which is so it kind of acts like I love the way that older Five acts to that. He's like, I'm not feeling the effects in here, and then older Five's like, I didn't think we're that stupid. It's paradox proof, dumbass. It's like, what? That's not what he says. It's not what he says exactly. Like, the dumbass part was me, but like, I just don't.
Like, you should know this.
Like, you should know that. It's like, how would he know that? Anyway,
you didn't know it acts, the founder. What the hell?
It acts as a panic room from, like, the space-time continuum and any paradoxes that might, like, try to affect the space-time continuum. Like, it's a panic room for that.
I love that there are three chairs in there, like, because Old Five points out that any number of the forms of Five can be in the room at the same time. And so I'm thinking, like, they all get together in these kind of domed chairs and hang out and drink.
They're egg chairs.
They're egg chairs. They're cute. It's funny. Imagine this, like, 60s get together.
Yeah, the orb is called a Kugelblitz. And they can't fix it, and all that will be left is oblivion. And older Five tells younger Five not to save the world before he dies. So before older Five dies.
And older Five, like, his left arm is missing from the elbow down, but he also has
a tattoo
and younger Five. I do love some of the things.
Younger Five just says. Cuts it off.
Some of the stuff younger Five says before then, he's like, look, I'm having hormones. All I want to do is go buy a Corvette. I need, like, the world to exist for a little while longer. He's like, go save the world.
But he's simultaneously going through puberty and a midlife crisis.
Yeah,
it's very funny. Klaus and Stan go into the White Buffalo suite. Klaus remembers a White Buffalo painting in Reginald's room, and the suite is the White Buffalo suite. So I'm just not detail oriented, but if I, like, went into a random room and saw a painting and then went to a themed room with a room that is themed with the same thing that was in that painting, I wouldn't put together that was related. Like, I'd just be like, that's a weird theme for a room. Like, okay. Unless it was extremely specific. It's the same
day. It is, White Buffalo is extremely specific. And I suppose. It's the same day. So I'm sure the class is thinking,
Daddy issues. Anyway, they have more daddy issues than the Bridgerton boys. Anyway, well, maybe. So Stan plays around with a harpoon and accidentally shoots and kills Klaus. And then Harlan goes to Victor's room and finds the newspaper cutouts of all the mothers, that of the pictures of all the mothers, of like the articles that they're tragic and sudden deaths.
Right, the mothers of the Umbrella Academy.
Yes,
people.
And they're like, he's freaking out, Harlan's freaking out, and Victor runs into him in the hallway, and Harlan's like, why do you have these? I'm like, why wouldn't he have them, but okay. And this is news, dude, like, what do you mean?
I love that they have this weird mind meld bullshit in the hallway.
It just goes to show how stupidly overpowered both of them are. Anyway, they, like, mind meld flashback bullshit into...
Not as cool as a Vulcan mind meld. I'm no. just telling you.
And they you just watched Star Trek
I
recently.
I did. I love Star Trek.
I haven't seen the first movie in a while, and I've never seen all of the series, so sorry.
It's been a while.
I've seen Trouble with
Tribbles. And do all the things.
I've seen Trouble with Tribbles.
It's the best.
Anyway, Victor is brought into a flashback of the blast, and now the House of the Rising Sun is a cover, which I kind of like that detail.
Yeah.
And so it's the blast, and it randomly kills all of the mothers of that specific group of the Umbrella Academy, but not Ben or any of the Sparrow Academy. That was a very strategic strike that seems very unnecessary and weird.
It's the people he met that have that same source, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
in a way, he, you
know. But here's the thing. Victor's very upset with Harlan. Like, oh, you killed our moms? It's like, it's because you changed the timeline. Harlan is the anomaly because Harlan shouldn't exist. But it's your fault, freaking
it's
Victor.
It's always Victor's fault.
It's Victor's fault.
Every
it's
time.
Fucking lake kid.
Because if Victor didn't start the first fucking apocalypse or the second fucking apocalypse, none of this wouldn't happen. Would have happened.
True.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Yay.
Best parts. Klaus, Luther, Christopher, and I guess I put the
Christopher
reveal. Because he's funny. Like when they came to the hostage release, because Christopher was like in the back of the car. So. It's funny to think that this flying cube had to get to the back of a Jeep. It's funny. Anyway, I also like put the reveal of the founder. That's not that fun. Anyway, that's
I didn't think it was that fun. I actually liked Five and Lila.
I liked Five. I guess Lila. Lila has
Lila
a fun
was
line.
Better in this episode.
Lila has a fun line. Like when they're splitting up, she's like, "Okay, miss you," and then Five goes, "That's weird."
Yeah,
it goes Five and Lila.
They were cute together. Diego, I thought was very funny in this.
Until they went to the whole weird place.
Until he's trying to stress.
Yeah,
some
I guess Diego's also one of them.
Klaus, I thought was great in this. And those were my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Flashback to the lake bullshit. Ben, Stan, and Allison. Allison is just like, my thing with Allison, and I talked about how I don't really like the route that they're going down because we didn't really think about Claire at all in the second season. They kind of set it up in the first season, but then they kind of forgot about it in the second season. And I feel like if they should have, this could have been an effective arc if they had planned it a little bit in advance of, like, in the second season, she was feeling the effects of being away from her daughter. She wanted to be alone and wanted to hold out hope for her daughter, so she didn't marry Ray. She was friends with Ray, but she wasn't married to him. She was pretty lonely. She wanted to stay that way. Her one constant was the hope that Claire was going to be there when she got back, and maybe she would find her family again, but she was kind of trying to hold out hope for that. And then they come back to the present and she's gone. And then she has this mental breakdown. I feel like that would have made more sense. And I feel like we just needed her to be a bit more lonely for her to, because she didn't seem to care that much about Claire when she married Ray.
There was like no discussion about
that. Absolutely none until the very end. When they thought about the idea of coming back to 2019. And so that's why I'm kind of confused about why they're making such a big deal now.
Oh, we can have some kind of storyline for Allison.
Because, yeah, that's it. Well, because think about the fact that like it was such a big deal about Claire in the first season, it's such an afterthought in the second season, and then they try to make it a big deal again in the third season. It just isn't consistent. And when you think about it in the terms of if for example, you went back in time when I was like what, 8, something like that, I don't know, and you couldn't get back to me for like 2 years, and then you try to come back again, and then I'm just not there, like how would you feel? It would feel really awful, because you love me that much.
I do love you that
much. I know
much.
You do, and that's why I used this example.
But I would have been bereft in the other timeline.
Exactly, you would have been bereft the whole fucking time, like I a good have. Mother. Like, what is your deal, Allison?
Because biology.
It's just bizarre to me that they made it such an, again, I feel like this could have been an effective like arc for Allison if they played into it in the second season, but they didn't. So
my worst parts definitely include Allison, and I really feel like the aggression, I agree with Victor, this is out of character, this is not how we have seen her deal with trauma before, and I'm not saying it's not possible for people to change their trauma response. It just seems overblown and weird. Victor, I didn't think was great in this episode. And I think some of it is because Victor has gone from being somewhat empowered to being weak and stupid again. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And it just feels too familiar. And I'm complaining about Allison not feeling familiar enough. I hear the contradiction. Sorry, that's the way it is. Harlan, the whole thing and the leg flashback, stupid. There we go. What grade did you give this episode?
C+.
I give it a C. I thought about giving it a C+, and then I didn't.
Honestly, it probably is a C.
It's not good.
You made an effective argument there.
It's so well thought through. Anyway, so we actually, you know, again, this is our first rewatch of season 3 of The Umbrella Academy. We came away from season 3 feeling like it was not amazing, but there are still characters that we love. And I'm hoping that we are going to get a better sense of why that was our impression, or my impression, I should say. That's probably more fair, from season 3. But we hope that you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.